As you all know, the census figures were published today. Now, these census figures, every 10 years, are particularly sensitive because of the religious, social makeup of Northern Ireland, etc. So a lot of attention will be given to these figures in terms of the political parties, in terms of how we plan for the future. Now, I have with me, to try and evaluate and assess these figures, Dr. Ian Butterworth. I have with me Dr. Ian Shuttleworth of Queen's University is going to try to help me to evaluate and to try to decipher the meaning behind these figures. General observation, Ian, firstly.
Well, the general observation I've got to start with is that in the run-up to the census this time, there was far less hype and discussion and speculation before the results came out. Certainly far less than in 1991 and 2001. And that probably comes down perhaps to the changed political situation in Northern Ireland. Now, of course, there is interest in identity and religion still in the census this time, because I guess these still remain issues that are alive, given, I suppose, the nature of politics in Northern Ireland. But the results this time, curiously, what we would expect in some respects, but in other respects, quite different and quite challenging and quite fascinating.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, the things that we would expect, given trends in previous censuses, is that there has been an increase in the Catholic proportion of the population. And it's up slightly from 2001.
About 1%.
Yeah, in fact, you might have expected it perhaps to have been up rather more, but a slight sort of increase, so that's not entirely unexpected.
But that hasn't that been countered, though, by the dip in the Protestant vote?
Well, when you say the Protestant vote, the Protestant share of the population has dipped below 50%. It's fallen to something like about 48%. And that's interesting because it means that, well, in the past, in 2001, the results of the census were reported in something like a form akin to, say, a football score. I can't remember the exact figures, but the headline of the Belfast Telegraph was, I think, something like it's 53 versus 44. Now, you can't say that this time. You've got two large minorities. There's no one population block which is 50% and greater. So it's 48 against 45. And with a balance being made up by others and people who are nones, who state they've got no religious background.
So what are the implications for this apparent closing of the gap between Catholics and Protestants, simply 3 percentage points between them?
It's only 3 percentage points. Of course, we could make estimates of who the nones are, which actually, given that there's quite a concentration of them, of nones in areas which tend to be Protestant, probably, you know, it's reasonable to guess perhaps that some of them are Protestant. That would probably widen the gap. But it's interesting that there's secularisation perhaps and people unwilling to declare an identity. And given that the gap's closed and given some people have declared that they've got no identity, perhaps there's maybe an incentive to look for a middle ground a little bit more. Certainly the idea of 50% plus one is maybe an idea, a concept in politics that is past its time.
What does that mean, though?
Well, I'm not a politician, and I'm not going to get drawn too far into talking about politics, and particularly the current political situation, because I think that there's a risk of pouring petrol on the flames. But it would probably suggest that broader-based policies are necessary, both for nationalists and for unionists, to try to get cross-community support for some things.
If the current situation obtains, though, where we have a flare-up, like the current flare-up, and I know you don't want to be political, over the flag and that type of thing, what chances do you think, though, are there of Catholics voting for parties other than the SDLP and Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland?
Well, I'm not a Catholic, and I'm not a Catholic voter, and I wouldn't like to speculate, but I'd leave you to think about what the possible implications could be. I can't imagine it would increase their likelihood of voting.
Given these trends or these census figures, what do you think are the implications for Belfast particularly?
Well, the situation in Belfast is like this, that I think the Catholic proportion of the population is 48%. The Protestant population is circa 43%. And the balance is made up by others and nones. So it's a situation where Belfast has possibly moved away now from being a Protestant majority council area.
Where is this all leading? You know, in the Good Friday Agreement and going back to the Downing Street Declaration, the British committed itself or themselves in the eventuality of a 50 plus one situation emerging, then the British would be prepared to legislate for a change in the constitutional status of Northern Ireland. Are we ever going to reach that situation? Are we heading down that road?
I don't know, and we may not know. There may be no census in 2021. What I wanted to say, actually, is that the new identity question in the census possibly erodes the relationship that's been made between religion and community background and voting intentions. Now, we don't know for sure, and we need to think about it further. I think it definitely poses a challenge for politicians and commentators to think through a little bit more about identity today in Northern Ireland, and maybe to break away from the equation that all Catholics are nationalists and all unionists are British. Now, no doubt quite a lot are, but I think there's other things maybe happening under the bonnet we need to think about.
Right. What are the implications, though, when you examine, Mr. Shuttleworth, when you examine the number of people declaring themselves Irish and the number of people who declare themselves Northern Irish? When you put those two figures together, don't you get that sense of Irishness becoming quite dominant?
I don't know. And the reason I don't know is that the Northern Irish category could be quite heterogeneous. It could include lots of people, different types of people. And I'm speculating, because I don't think we know and need to think through this question about identity a lot more.
But isn't it interesting that nobody said they were British Irish or Irish British? They said they were that they were Northern Irish. So if you take that in, is there an argument for thinking that aspirationally those people would also be comfortable with a united Ireland?
I simply don't know, and I don't want to be drawn on that too far. There were, in fact, two tables which reported the results of the national identity question. One which was simplified, but one which allowed people to see multiple responses. I don't have the figures to hand just at the minute, but there was an option to say you were Northern Irish and Irish, Northern Irish and British, and I need to look at those figures to...
Ian, if you were Peter Robinson, on the back of his recent speech at his party's conference, where he made this gesture wanting to reach out to the Catholic nationalist community, against the backdrop of these figures, is he going anywhere, do you think?
Well, in some ways, it would appear to be a rational strategy to try to broaden one's support. And I mean, when I go back to the Northern Irish to return to the earlier point, the Northern Irish could include all sorts of people. It could include Alliance supporters. It could include people who are Liberal Unionists or Catholic Unionists. It could include some variants of Ulster Independents and Ulster Separatists. It could be a very mixed bag, and that needs to be queried and looked at a little bit more.
Well, Peter Robinson would clearly be interrogating all these figures very carefully. Now, if you're Gerry Adams or Mark McGuinness looking at these figures, what do you think will be going through their minds? Will they be saying, we can close this gap?
I don't know what's happening in their minds, but all I'll say is that I was surprised that the percentage of people who said they were Irish was around about a quarter. I expect it to be somewhat higher and probably more in line with the Catholic share of the population. So I was surprised it was sort of relatively low compared to that.
Why do you think... if the nationalist vote hasn't grown more than one might have expected, or the national, the pro-Ireland vote, United Ireland vote hasn't grown more, why do you think that there's that surprise drop in the Protestant identity?
I think there's possibly two or three causes. Well, populations change in numbers and proportions because of differential births, deaths, and migration. The Protestant population in 2001 was older than the Catholic population. Therefore, everything else being equal, it will have lost more of the population through deaths in that 10-year period. So possibly differential mortality and population ageing. The Catholic population tends to be younger and will tend to have greater demographic momentum. The other thing, and this is speculation, and we need to look at this quite carefully, is that it may well be that quite a high proportion of the nuns were people who said they were Protestant in 2001. They certainly seem to be more likely to be in council areas, which are largely Protestant. Now, that's an assumption one can make, but it needs to be investigated further, and we actually don't know. But possibly a combination of secularisation and differences in births and deaths, and maybe something to do with migration as well, explains that fall.
Ian Shuttleworth, this is fascinating, and we're going to need more time to interrogate all of this to be more accurate in our analysis. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks very much.